This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 4085 for Friday, the 29th of March, 2024. Today's show is entitled Android User Land Google Assistant GPT. It is hosted by Operator and is about 32 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is Operator tells you how to get past no ADB and blocking of third-party APKs. You are listening to a show from the reserve queue. We are airing it now because we had free slots that were not filled. This is a community project that needs listeners to contribute shows in order to survive. Please consider recording a show for Hacker Public Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio with your host, Operator. Today, I'm going to be talking about new Android phone and how I've set it up and how it's different than my last one. So we're going to be talking about not jailbreaking, but being able to run any application you want on at least Android device. And then also how I'm handling Google Assistant now using ChatGPT. So if you want a better Google Assistant, or if you want to have complete control over your entire device, or have basically a microcomputer inside of your Android computer, your Android phone, listen up. So first things first, I'll go some background. The old setup we had with work was two profile setups. So the first one was the system profile, profile zero or whatever. And then I think it was profile 9 was my personal profile. And the idea is that the work and the personal or separate, and then you could have apps on each one and whatever. You could manage the app stores separately and essentially completely close out, in theory, all the tasks for your work profile when your personal wasn't on. Or when you're, not working, you can turn off the work profile and that will kill all the apps for the work profile. And from what I can tell, it actually did work. So I had to log back into stuff after a weekend or whatever. So anyways, that's how it was set up before. It was kind of weird. The way we had email was through Exchange, but it was a weird Exchange Google thing. So Gmail client was my client for our Active Directory Outlook. So everything was kind of broken. Outlook was the previous thing, and then I guess they were locking things down and decided to go this route and try to see if it would work, and it really didn't work. So they moved back to a different model where you just have one profile and there's no ADB debugging for Android, and there's also no third-party APKs. And along with all the other security profile stuff like locking standards and stuff like that. So first things first, that limits a lot of what you can do. If you can't do ADB, then there's a lot of stuff you can't do with the phone as far as enhancements, getting things what you want. Same thing for third-party applications. If you can't install a third-party APK, things get complicated, or you start getting jailed into that ecosystem of Android. So I started to think about, okay, what can I do? Chances are, I try to do some silly stuff, load a APK through another app that was already installed. So, you have some janky work app, and maybe you can man in the middle of some kind of method in which to execute arbitrary code through your work app and gain system level access. So the idea would be, and I still haven't done any research on this, I'm not a Android pen tester by any means, but the idea would be to get hold of one of those work applications, inspect that traffic, debug it, understand how to get in between it, and find a way to get to the information. So if there's no SSL at some point, that's an easy way to get out. But even there, I think a third-party app can't install third-party apps unless it's enabled in the backend. So you'd have to basically compromise MAZ 360 or something, and that's probably not going to happen. So I looked at that and said, there's no way I'm going to be able to find some ODE with the Play Store or MAZ 360 or something. So I gave up on that. I said, okay, what else can I do? I know I have arbitrary code execution. I know I can execute whatever I want on this device because that's just inherently how it's set up. There's no application whitelisting. I can run whatever app I want. It just so happens that the apps that I can run are in a closed ecosystem. But that's not to say I can't create, you know, a shell script and run that, or create some other arbitrary code somewhere on the system and execute stuff. So then I started talking about the thinking about, oh, well, I know they have like the X terminal and the whatever they call it, the emulators or whatever, terminal emulators for Android. Let me just fire one of those up and see if I can get a Debian, you know, install going and have a terminal, and I can get everything I need from there. And I don't remember the name of it, but that's one I had used before. But it was a popular terminal, and you can have like Debian-like packages. And I started to mess with that, and it kept warning me that it was old and it needs to be updated, and you can't do this, you can't do that. And it was all kind of old and dilapidated, and it said, oh, we'll use a new version that's not on the Play Store. Well, that's not an option for me because, again, right, we can't install third-party applications. So started to back up and say, okay, well, now that I sort of have arbitrary code execution, what can I look at? And I knew there was way back an APK on the App Store that could let you install different distributions and run, you know, other distros like Kali or whatever. And so, you know what? I wonder what the scene looks like now for that. It's probably kind of fleshed out. And chance, and actually it is. So there's a app on the App Store for Android called, wow, I don't remember the name of it. It is called, let me get my notes here. That's on a hacking list. Userland. So Userland is basically a way to start up other distributions within Android. They call it a, let's see, they don't even explain what it is here. But anyways, it's a way to run several different distributions within Android. And there's other ones like, you know, emulators that will let you do same type of thing. So your options here are within Userland. Let me bring it up here on my phone here. Alpine, Arch, Debian, Kali, Ubuntu, Firefox, Git, IDLE, well, Python, IDLE, I guess, shell, VS Code somehow, Thunderbird, I guess VS Code's through whatever you can run, Mono, which you can run Windows, you know, VLLs or VB, whatever code inside of Linux. Thunderbird, games, adventures, work, there's a couple of math things. Interestingly, GIMP, Inkscape, and LibreOffice. So you can pretty much install whatever you want once you get one of these going. So my intention was to create like a Debian, have a Debian instance, and basically use that to launch whatever I wanted. My main requirement, and my only requirement so far on Android at least, has been that I would like to download YouTube videos. And there's no way to do that without a third-party APK or a command line version of YouTube DL or YouTube Downloader, whatever. So that's when I realized I can use this whole full-blown Debian image, essentially, to do whatever I want. Now, I will say I would probably just stay in the command line. The UI, for me at least, seemed pretty crashy. I think a minimalist UI might be an option there, but as soon as you start updating apps and installing things, it can get weird because it tries to do, you know, like kernel level stuff, and it will end up breaking the environment. So you have to be careful with what you install, and then reboot, check to see if still everything still works. Then if you have issues, you have to kind of roll back and figure out how the dependency structure works and work around those different dependencies. But the idea there is now I have a full-blown Debian UI that I can click around with, at least for a little bit, and I can run YouTube DL in the command line if I want to download a YouTube video on my phone. So that's how I handle that, and it's quite interesting. I've actually plugged it into the computer, plugged it into a docking station, and was able to use my keyboard, mouse, screen, actually not a docking station, but I plugged it directly into the HDMI and then I plugged the well, actually, there's a cable you can get that's a USB-C to USB and HDMI and charge port. So they use them for Nintendo Switches as a little mini dongle. So the input's USB-C, the output is several USB ports and HDMI and a charge port. So you can charge it, you can plug keyboard and mouse into it, and then you can plug HDMI into it. So it basically turns your phone into a portable workstation, which we're not too far off from having that. I would say, you know, if we could get off the train of having Windows boxes, it would actually be viable, but it's never going to happen when Windows owns the ecosystem. But you can essentially run, plug your phone into a, you know, keyboard, mouse, monitor, and do whatever you need to do nowadays. Everything's on the web anyways, so who cares? But anyways, hi there, guys. Yeah, I'm yawning a lot here. Let me get some water. It's been sitting here for God knows how long. Anyways, drink more water. So we have basically an entire Debian environment. We do whatever we want to do. We're good there. The second piece I was missing is I wanted to talk about is really weather and weather apps and all the garbage that comes along with it. I like Weather Underground, but I've never really liked having a weather app because weather is dumb and it's free and there's a million places to get the weather. Why do I have to, you know, be bombarded by ads or, you know, annoyed by a crappy UI, whatever. So I think I asked or looked on Reddit or asked ChatGPT or Kaji at this point, which I don't think I've done one on Kaji, and I need to add that in here. Let me see. Kaji.com. There's going to be a lot of stuff packed in here, too. They call this Widgetify. Widgetify. It's like Widgetify. So basically, it makes a web page a widget on your desktop. And essentially what I did was with the National Service Radar, they have like a compressed version or like a cellular version. I think it's called like when you go in there you can click print or something like that. And it will show you like a printable version of the radar and things like that. So you can mess around with the UI, especially from your phone. Do it from your phone. And it will give you different UI options. But what I have here is a probably a little square 1, 2, 3. I mean, I use a different, I use Nova that gives me more icons on the desktop. But I have a little block here, Jesus, with the radar. And that shows me the radar. I can see if there's a rain patch coming, whatever, exactly where my coordinates are. And then below that, I have another Widgetify that tells me the weather for the day, for the week. So it's like today, tonight, Friday night. Today is obviously Thursday. And so it doesn't require an app. It does require the Widgetify app, which apparently has ads, but unless you go into the settings of the application or like configure, you know, to add the widget itself, you're not going to see any ads. So it's very intuitive. I can't even actually get to the ads. I don't even know how to get to that. I think that's under configure. Once you configure something, there might be ads in here. I don't even know. So yeah, I think there's ads in the configuration banners or whatever. So anyways, that's how I've got weather without having to have a weather app. I use the Nova desktop thing. I paid for the premium version. So far, everything is free except for Nova gives you some options like backing up your current configuration with Nova and changing the way essentially the launcher works. That's what we're replacing here. Pretty much standard stuff I've already talked about. I have a Firefox nightly, and you can enable developer mode, and then you can create your own developer plugin sets that will work pretty much on anything. So I have a developer plugin set to my own plugin set, and you just need the ID to it. So I it's on my YouTube. If I remember, I'll try to make a video notepad. Video for Firefox, no ads. So it's sponsor block and the ad blocker. The add-on block custom lit number I'm using is 11335506, and the name of it is block. So that's the only thing you need to know is install developer Firefox, click the like about section or the icon in the about, and it'll unlock developer, and then you can go in there and add a custom add-on collection, and that will have all the stuff you get. Jeez Louise. All right, so we've got no ads with YouTube player using Firefox because there's no third party, you know, YouTube players that you can load up because they're so we've got no ads with YouTube, no ads. We have the ability to download YouTube videos or any video for that matter through or do whatever we want at all. And it's also importantly enough, you can combine user land with a VPN and get basically an entire invisible instance of your setup, essentially invisible without some kind of forensics to work, or anybody trying to, you know, inspect your traffic or whatever. The only drawback there is that you would, you know, the files would be plain text on the system itself, but you could probably employ some kind of encryption mounting where you're storing the data in an encrypted drive within the virtual machine. So that gets a little tacky if it sits there and crashes all the time, but there are options for, you know, encrypted mounting. I don't know if we can encrypt the entire disk. But anyways, so we got YouTube, no ads, we've got YouTube downloaders. Everything else is pretty standard. Now, we're 16 minutes in and we're going to talk about Tasker and replacing Google Assistant with not a piece of garbage. The requirements are at least basically $5 worth of Tasker plugins. And I will say Tasker is for it's kind of hacky. I've used it before. I tried to use it for Google Voice. Apparently you can use it for Google, but again, I think you have to have USB debugging to talk to Google Voice like natively. There's a lot of SMS things you can call SMS natively to do things in Android, but Google Voice is not an SMS client, an SMS application. It's a SMS proxy, so it's not used like an SMS application in your traditional sense going over the cellular network. So there's a translation there. So any kind of application that has to do with SMS or anything trying to manage Google Voice or calls or anything, it's kind of hacky with Google Voice, so that's kind of my main problem. But if you have standard SMS, you can actually do all kinds of crazy stuff with standard SMS accessibility or whatever SMS app you have. You can hijack all that stuff. So anyways, we have some requirements first, which I'll mention. Again, is Tasker, and Tasker's been around forever. It's got an interesting UI. It's I would say, you know, what ends up happening is that you see a plugin for Tasker that does what you probably think you might want to do, and then you pay all the money to unlock all the things to get it to do what you want it to do, and then it sort of ends up doing what you want it to do, but it's clunky in some way, whereas, you know, you have to, like, for example, when mine got squirrely, I had to reboot and, like, do, you know, probably spend a minute to set up to make sure everything was running. It might be like a battery optimization thing that I'm missing somewhere, but it seems to be kind of clunky. So anyways, anytime I've ever done anything with Tasker, it's always been like a hecky clunky thing. But as a proof of concept and to see what we're going to see sooner rather than later, I have replaced the Google Assistant with ChatGPT essentially, or GPT-4 Turbo. And that's kind of how it's set up now. So there's not really any notes around that. I'll add the GPT section. Add how to use GPT-4 Turbo. You know, I've been using Turbo instead of GPT-4 because it is wildly cheaper. GPT-4 is stupid expensive. GPT-4 Turbo is reasonable, and it's just almost as good, as far as I can tell, less wordy actually, than GPT-4. So, anyways, the first kind of application you want to install, there's a Tasker, essentially a Tasker open source public repository of Tasker apps and profiles. And so the first thing I searched was a Hey Google or ChatGPT. And when I searched for that, there was one called Hey Google ChatGPT. Now, I will see if I can go over kind of the request. So the website is tasker.net. And then you go to Hey Google ChatGPT. Or you just type in ChatGPT and you'll get Hey Google ChatGPT. Let me turn off all my ad blockers here. I'm not seeing the rest of the content. I don't see it. Anyways, the requirements for this, and I'll tell you here in a second, sorry. It doesn't show up correctly with the browser. Okay. It looks like a little iframe they put in here. So it replaced the Hey Google ChatGPT Tasker.com public thing. Replace Google Assistant with ChatGPT. Make sure to carefully read the instructions below and also the instructions of the other mentioned projects. Now, there's several pieces of this. There is ChatGPT, there's ChatGPT Task Caller, and there's Hey Google Command Intercept. And then there's auto input, which I think that's a plugin you have to pay for. So there's, like I said, it's like $5 to set up, and you also need an open API key. I have access to ChatGPT 4 Turbo. I think they're giving it all away now. So it used to be just ChatGPT, like GPT 3.5 with the open API access. I think they just gave it all away, but that takes about a month. You go in and request access to GPT-4 and they give it to you, but I think they give it to everybody now. I don't know how it works, but if you sign up for OpenAI, they'll give you API key and then you look for how to request access to GPT-4, or they probably already have it just by default now. So anyways, the first part is getting the plugins installed and set up. Make sure each application having to do with Tasker is set to not optimized and be always running. You don't want battery optimization or anything like that running when it's trying to do stuff. I haven't had it glitch out on me too much. I used it for like 3 days and then it glitched out, and I just fixed it this morning or last night. And it seems to be working okay. I'm having a bit of a problem with the personalities. Don't seem to work right, and I don't know if I don't have the right prompt or something. But so that's some of what's going on. So the import the Hey Google Command Intercept. This project allows you to get Google Assistant commands to Tasker. So somehow it's able to hook the Hey Google call, the call, and then you can define whether you want it to take it over entirely, which you don't want, or you can have it a keyword set up for it. So it can be H Google, and then when you say the keyword, which I've defined as orange, it will do whatever it is you need to do. So I'll do a quick example. Hey Google. And of course it's not working. So, Hey Google, orange, tell me a joke about how bad Google Assistant is. It's very quick as far as like.
Why don't we like to hang out with Google Assistant at parties? Because whenever we ask it to tell a joke, it just Googles one.
Yeah, so that's an example of a response from ChatGPT for a Google Assistant using the code word orange. So it's H Google, orange, quickly followed by what you want to ask ChatGPT to do. It's not a two-way conversation. It's a single whatever. If you want to have a conversation with it, then you just go to the UI and you say, you know, you click on the UI and say, I want to start a conversation. You can go back and forth with it. So that's kind of interesting. I have used it. I used it a couple times to ask quick questions. So like, for example, if I want to know how to do a function of our sim Splunk Sim and say, hey, how do I remove duplicates or whatever it was I was asking it? And instead of having to search for it, Kaji, not Google, kagi.com, I was able to get the response from the phone and not have to stop what I was doing to like search for an easy answer to something. That is, Google Assistant is not that. It can't do anything smart. And I'm not sure how the OpenAPI works, but I'm pretty sure it has web access, but I'd have to check that. We can do that right now. So, hey, Google, Orange, tell me any information security news related to today. Might take it a minute for that one.
Sorry, I currently don't have the ability to fetch live news data.
Okay.
I recommend using news sites or search engines for the most recent information.
So I actually want to develop, I want to create, rewrite the ChatGPT part and make it use Kaji, because Kaji has Kaji Search or Kaji FastGPT. So I think FastGPT is free right now. Kaji is like 200 and something a month, or sorry, a year. It's basically the same price as ChatGPT or GPT Plus, but it's all Kaji and all that. So anyways, I won't do a thing on Kaji. I'll do a thing. It deserves its own thing. Tasker deserves its own thing. Okay. And also user land all deserves its own thing. But I'm bundling it into two different ones, and we're 30 minutes now, so... If you're still with me, I appreciate you sticking around. So I've showed you a couple of examples. It does not have web access, which that makes sense because you're talking directly to the model. It doesn't include search. But there probably might be easy ways to do that, to just change the GET request, because it's essentially an API request. And I'm sure I can change the OpenAPI request to actually use web stuff, web search. But that might be just a part of plus. I don't know. So anyways, so that's kind of an easy way to get our replace our assistant with something that's actually useful. Again, it would be nice to have website access, but this is just to give you an idea of kind of what's coming with, you know, assistants and getting them actually do something useful. So I hope to find, if I can't find something for ChatGPT, web to give me, you know, AI plus search is what you want. If I can't get that with ChatGPT just by changing the request, I will try and rewrite Tasker to use Kaji, because that's essentially all the inputs are there. Like, all I have to do is change out the URL and the API key, more or less. So I can look at the traffic going across using Jamboree, my project on my GitHub, look at the traffic going across the network when I'm doing the request and response, and I can see what's getting sent to through the plugin and find that code, replace it with my own URLs and my own API keys, and use Kaji for that and put it on their Tasker.com, TaskerNet.com open public thingy. I hear the word not yet for Android Kaji Assistant. I'm assuming there's an Android web-based AI assistant coming soon that's AI and search, but I've been Google free for three months now. That's a different episode entirely. I'm do a whole thing on it, and there's stuff Kaji I haven't even messed with yet. But anyways, it's been, 40 minutes, something like that? No, it's only 30 minutes. I'll let you guys go, but if you're interested in being on the bleeding edge of replacing Google Assistant with something useful, definitely try it out, test it out. It's like $5, and then like maybe like another $5 for OpenAPI, OpenAPI stuff. I've used it, I don't know how many times, and I've only spent like $3 across OpenAI and Kaji. So I've got like, you know, $10 in, you know, $5 in Kaji and $5 in OpenAPI. I haven't hardly used any of it. That's pretty much it. So this is kind of how you get control over your device. You install userland. And there's not really much else I need from a, you know, requirements perspective. The GlycolX thing is I use for managing the audio. It's called GlycoX. and it's a compressor and a limiter and equalizer for Android, so you can mess with the audio of your headphones, do a bass boost or boost the sound coming out, because my car setup is pretty bad, so I have to boost the sound. It allows it to go to get any audio out of the car system that I've set up. So anyways, hope I appreciate you. Feel free to have any questions. If you know of any AI search replacements assistance for Android, please let me know. I would pay $30 a month for, you know, AI search, AI plus search for Android, voice-based. I'm working on eventually, maybe within a year or two when this stuff gets easier, I'll have my own AI voice, a copy voice clone, and then I'll use that with my own fine-tuned model based on my text messages and my emails, and that will act more like me. Also a bonus, there's the Myers-Briggs personality test, which is, you know, they say it's all a bunch of hoo-ha, but it's called MBTI. It's a personality test, and there's like three letters, and I'm an ENFJ. That's Echo Nancy Foxtrot, whatever J is, Juice, Juliet, and then my tritot enneagram is 729. So you can say, you can make AI a little bit more like you, especially at least with ChatGPT. You can say, hey, in the personality, you know, Myers-Briggs personality of ENFJ and the tritype enneagram 729, answer this question or deal with this problem or start a conversation with me. And maybe I'll do one specifically on AI usage. Let me add that I have a crap ton of Tasker GPT. I've already done that one. So AI usage, stuff like Professor Synapse, Kaji. Maybe I'll make that all part of Kaji, because the powerful part of Kaji is the AI. So maybe that'll be Kaji and AI usage, because I've heard talking about AI, but I've never heard anybody use it outside of creating an automated, you know, an automated episode of HPR or something. Anyways, I'll let y'all go. Probably going to do one on resumes too. Jesus. I'm doing resume updating. Resume AI updating. And using AI to help write resumes, stuff like that. So I'll do one on that. There should be a fair amount more of episodes coming. So if you don't like to hear my voice, or if you do like to hear my voice and have any constructive criticism to say, hey, you know, you're too rambly, or you say and too much, or can you slow down, can you speed up, can you focus more on this thing, any feedback would be great. Tried not to yawn, but that's what tends to happen when you start talking. Your vocal cords get tired and then it makes you yawn. So anyways, appreciate it. You all have a good time, and stay frosty. Take it easy.
Have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.